Okay, we're going to describe a little bit of the mefalshim that we find that are the main mefalshim that are always brought down in Chochmah to Kabbalah, because we know the Chochmah Kabbalah is not something that you just fold your legs in the yoga position and you start meditating. That is not exactly what Kabbalah is all about, but rather there is a whole set of mefalshim that discuss the writings of the Arizal and the Mefalfel, and they come up with great understandings, each one in their very unique ways. So we're going to try to describe some of them. We're going to start first of all with the Ramak. Now, the Rishonim, we don't have very much information, and the reason why we don't really deal with the Rishonim, for example, the Ramban and the Ravid and the Rebbe of the Ramban, which is Rabbi Lazar ben Granada, from Granada, Rabbi Zril ben Granada, of Granada, that we don't discuss because they've written Chiburim, but they're very concise and very delicate and very hard to extract any type of system whatsoever. They spoke very, very cryptic and the times weren't right. They felt obviously the times weren't right to reveal all this. And the further we go in the history of the development of this limbo, we find more and more yesodot. The secrets are being revealed to us more and more. And I explained to you, the Leshem says quite often in his Chibur that the closer we get to the times of Mashiach, that the more things will be revealed, for the simple reason that the Shah Shemaims are opening up, the gates of heaven are opening up and allowing us to have access to things, you know, knowledge that the previous generations never had. Alright. So let's start with Ramak. Ramak lived in Resh Pei Vav to Shin Lamed, around like 500 years ago. And Ramak was one of the great teachers in Tzfat. He opened up a yeshiva there in Tzfat for the Mukubalim, one of the first ones ever. He was training Talmidim for many, 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 many years. So it was the end of his lifetime. It was a Talmid that came to him. His name was Yitzchak Luria, and he came, and obviously he showed his greatness. So the Ramak kept it silent to everybody else, and the Ramak knew that this Talmid is going to take over the yeshiva, take over the Talmidim, as soon that he passes away. And that was the Arizal. He lived 480 years ago, from Resh Tzadik Dalet to Shin Lamed Bet. And as the story goes, do you want me to tell you some of the stories behind, or just... So it's a famous story that the Ramak said that as he was passing away, his Talmidim came up to him and said to him, who's going to take over the yeshiva? You're up and above everybody here, you know, but we don't see anybody who's close to you whatsoever. He goes, well, I'll tell you a secret. The one who sees the smoke coming, following my kever, or leading my kever and showing you where to bury me, he is the one going to be to take me over. What a cryptic statement, when it's seeing smoke coming and leading where the kever should be buried and so on and so forth. Okay, fine, whatever. So it came to the day that Ramak passed away, and everybody came to make a hesped, and they asked the Arizal, one of the Talmidim, to come, and he gave such a great hesped and so on and so forth. And then the Talmidim, his great Talmid, were carrying the coffin of the Ramak. They were going to deposit his body in one place, and quickly the Arizal came along and said, no, don't put him there, because the smoke is showing me that the pillar of smoke is showing me that you have to take it further on. And they knew that Arizal is somebody to be dealt with, and they knew from there that he's going to take over the Kabbalistic institution there in Sfat. Now, there was a Talmid of the Ramak, one of the great Talmid of the Ramak, was called Rav Chaim Vital. Rav Chaim Vital lived 460 years ago. Right? He was actually older than the Arizal. He lived in Shin Gimel to Shin Pei. So, I think that time, I think he was around 48 years old. So the Rav Chaim Bital was one of the great Talmidim of the Ramak. Now when the Ramak was passed away, he really wasn't sure where he's going to, which Rebbe he's going to go underneath, because they were very limited in choice. So great, great men in Tzfat at that time. Great men. Rav Yosef Karo, as we know, the Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch, the Rav. You have great, great the Elkabats, you know, and so on and so forth. It came to that that he had a dream, and he was very perplexed by the dream, and he asked the question in the dream. The dream was as follows, first of all. The dream was that he saw the Ramak in the Yeshiva Shel Mala, learning Torah like he always did, came in very early, was learning Torah with an intensity, and he went up to him in the dream. Rav Chaim Bital went up to him in the dream and said, Rebbe, please tell me, I'm so confused. I hear, I've always been your Talmid, and you have a special way of teaching us. Now there's somebody new coming in, you know, and he's taking over the yeshiva. His name is Rav Yitzchak Loria, and he's a completely different way of learning. And you tell me, what is the true learning in Shemaim? You're in Shemaim now. Tell me who's learning correctly. And he says, of course, we've always learned correctly, says the Ramak. We've always learned correctly. But that was up to the point of now, where we're holding now. But now is a new period of time, and the way that Arizal is learning is the correct way to be learned now. And even I'm learning the way that Arizal is learning. And then Rav Chaim Bital woke up. Now, we're not talking about a dream like the type of dreams that we have. You know, we wake up, there's a bunch of nonsense, and we have no idea. We only understand half of the dream. They took the dreams very seriously. We're talking about huge, huge Mekubalim that knew the essence of all these things. And he knew from there on that the Arizal was going to be his Rebbe, and he went to the Arizal and he stayed with him for 1 year and 10 months until the Arizal himself was passed away. There was somebody also, a very great man called, we'll see, I mean, there's many, many other stories, but I'm not going to spend time right now on this, on the stories of the Rav Chaim Bital and the relations that he had with Arizal. But we'll come out, B'meshach Hazman. Now, you had as well, another great man, lived 442 years ago, from Shin Lamed to Tav Dalit. His name was Rav Avram Azulai. Of Avram Azulai. Now Avram Azulai is not so famous, he's quite known, but his grandchild, his great grandchild, was even more famous, called the Chida of Chaim Yosef Azulai. That was the Chida. Now he was very, very famous because he wrote many, many books. He was a great Kabbalist on his own, and he was one of the Talmidim in the Yeshivat Bet El in Old Yerushalayim. And he was famous for collecting actually. He was one of the shlichim of Yerushalayim. It's not like today that every Mossad in Yerushalayim used to go collecting. Every Rosh Hashiva goes, Rosh Kollel goes, you know. But rather, there was one shliach for Yerushalayim, one or two shlichim for Yerushalayim. They used to go and collect for all of Yerushalayim, all of the Mosdot. That was the Chida. So the Chida used to travel a tremendous amount of time. Great stories of the Chida, absolutely amazing. And he used to travel around the world, and being a great Talmid Chacham, he was fascinated by books as well, and he always collected old manuscripts of books and always searching into depth into the history of people and so on and so forth. He wrote great books. One of the books that he wrote, Shema Gedolim, very famous, an encyclopedia of all the great people. And a little tiny biography of each one of them. Tremendous. And he writes there that I've seen from my own eyes the handwriting of the Arizal, the handwriting of this, handwriting of the Ramban, or the Rishonim, from the Tanayim, from the Acha Achronim. So he would go around and collect us. So he is a great, also great Talmid of the Yeshivas Bet El. At the end of the day, that he got stuck in Chutz La'aretz, he stayed there, and I think he's actually buried in Italy, if I'm not mistaken. But anyways, his grandfather, which I'm more interested in right now, he wrote a sefer called Or Chama. The Or Chama is a great and amazing book, more or less appeals on the Zohar. But he was a great, great player in finding some of the Ktavim of the Arizal. Well, when we say the Ktavim and the Arizal, I understand that the Arizal never really wrote anything. Well, maybe one or two pieces, that's all. But the majority, and like I mean the majority, 99% of the writings of the Arizal we speak about, the Kitva Arizal, are all written by the Rav Chaim Vital. So, right, just to remember. Now, he found some of the Kitva Arizal written, hidden in a hidden away in a Geniza. Now, there's two different geuses over here. What exactly, where did he find them? Some say he found it in a Geniza in Tzfat. And some say that it was found actually in the Kever Rav Chaim Vital. When Rav Chaim Vital passed away, Rav Avraham Zulai and somebody else called Rav Yitzchak Yaakov Tzemach went and found these writings, and they become some of the great writings that we study on a daily basis. Now, the interesting story with the Rav Avraham Azulai is that they knew, you know, from word of mouth that Rav Chaim Vital, when he passed away, he took most of the writings with him in his burial place. He felt the generation again wasn't worthy, wouldn't understand it, would misunderstand it, so therefore he decided to bury it with him. Rav Chaim Vital had a great son, it's called Shmuel Vital, and you see his writings well, our writings all over the place as well in Kabbalah of the Etz Chaim, and he gives his various Pirushim and so on and so forth. They went up to Shmuel Vital. Avraham Azulai and Rav Yitzhak Tzemach went up to Shmuel Vital, the son of Rav Chaim Vital, and asked him permission whether they can dig up the grave of Chaim Vital and take out the writings, these secret writings, secret Kabbalistic writings that the Rav Chaim Vital received directly from the Arizal, and published them. And he said to him, you know what, I really cannot give you permission for this because my father is not here to ask. And you're going to have to go and do various Kabbalistic Shemot and a special Kabbalistic session in order to go up to the Rav Chaim Vital, to my father, and ask him. So that's what they did. They sat in Tanit for 3 days, and they made a Tanit Chalom. And they, in after 3 days of Tanit and Shuvot and so that, they went up to Shmei Shemaim, it's written. And they asked Rav Chaim Vital, they brought down his neshama, and they asked him, and they went up, and they brought it down, and they asked him, are we allowed to, do you give us the permission to go and dig up your grave and take out these writings? And the answer was yes. And they were very happy, and they came to told Rav Shmuel Vital, yes, the answer was yes. And he said, okay, fine, if he said yes, go ahead. So they digged up this grave, and they see this, an amazing sight, many, many years after Rav Chaim Vital was nifta, usually the body decomposes, it smells, and it's horrible. But nevertheless, his body was intact, and it was fresh, and there was no bad smells whatsoever. And on the chest of Rav Chaim Vital was all these writings of the Arizal. And Rav Chaim Vital had put his arms, you know, the arms of Rav Chaim Vital were placed on top of these writings, which were on his chest. So they lifted up the arms of Rav Chaim Vital, and they started taking slowly but surely these writings off his chest, one by one, one book after the other book. And then when they turned around to take out the rest of the writings of Chaim Vital's arms, believe it or not, folded back over the writings of the Arizal, as to say that ad kan vetulo, that's it, you receive as much knowledge as is needed for us, and that's no more. And then they buried him back up. They put the earth back on top of it, and that was the end of the story. And they took all these writings, and they deciphered them, they put them into order, and there's a whole, we'll discuss that later on, there's a whole slur of events that happen after that that are very interesting. But right now we're just going to discuss the people involved over here. So as I said, there was with Avraham Azulai, there was somebody called Rav Yaakov Tzemach, very important. We'll hear his name over and over again. And if Hashem, when we do the Etz Chaim, you'll see that Rav Yaakov Tzemach has brought a lot of added information that we needed. He's written a lot of Kabbalistic books himself, Rav Yaakov Tzemach. And he's responsible for the Ksavim of the Batra, Medura Batra. Again, he lived like 432 years ago from Shin Mem to Tav Chaf Zayin. And there's somebody else, a very great Talmud of the Arizal, which also will come into play. His name is Rav Gedalia Halevi. And he was actually the son-in-law, the brother-in-law of Rav Chaim Vital. Okay, I'm just mentioning these names that we'll just hear. So you have to know where they're holding in the line. Okay, I think we'll stop here now. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Okay, so we'll continue next time.
Thanks, Rabbi. That was fascinating.
Okay, great.
Fun.